want to do is I just want to give a little bit of a framework for the next few weeks. Okay. Let's see how we go here. And want to start to look at this question. Probably over the next 6 weeks, in various ways, we'll look at this. And again, that's why that passage is—it's pretty consistent with this thing as well. What we're looking at here. So today we'll look at the next 2 weeks. We'll spend some time in Ephesians chapter 2. And then the next three or four weeks after that, we'll look at Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, and more about that shortly. You might need to hit that gemmer, I think. There we go. So as we do that, here are some questions that I think will be really helpful for us. When we think about the church and who is the church and who are we as the church. And here's some questions that I want to just have in the front of your mind as we spend the next 6 weeks or so looking at some of these things. What's the legacy that you want to leave as a community of faith? What's the legacy that you want to... What's the heritage of this particular community of faith? What's the heritage of this congregation? Where have we seen God working in the past? And then two final questions. Who are we called to be? And who are we becoming? Now, I'll have these questions available for you next week. Okay. On just something that you can look at. But over the next 6 weeks, I just want to have these questions sitting in the background. Okay? What's the legacy that you want to leave? What's the heritage of this community? Where have we seen God working in the past? Who are we called to be? And who are we becoming? And as a congregation, when we look to our future, which is that's been bubbling away for us in the life of our congregation, when we look to our future, we have to find some answers to lots of questions that confront us. Especially over the next 12 months or so, we have got some challenges that are coming to us. And for some of us, it will be strangely encouraging as we think about those answers. And for others, it will feel a bit unsettled and maybe even a bit distressed. But as we go forward, I want to put these kind of questions before you to inform your prayers, to give you some guidance as you reflect and ponder our future. And as we seek these answers, as I said, I'll have them available for you next week, just individually. As we think about these, our future and these questions, we need to have a sure understanding of who we are and what we're about. Okay, a sure understanding of those things. Yesterday, it was really interesting to hear at the presbytery meeting Adam McIntosh speak. Adam McIntosh is the General Secretary of the Synod, and he gave a bit of a reflection on the Synod meeting that happened back. And there were lots of things that happened there and there were certain decisions that the Synod took about moving into the future and around areas of renewal and revitalization, those kind of things. And he said there were three words that he wanted to put forward that were really helpful, he thought, that laid a bit of a foundation as the Queensland Synod looks to the future. But as the Synod looks to the future now. And there were three words: hope, courage, and grit. hope in the sense that that we have a belief that we have a future. Courage in regards to the decisions that for some people will mean change. And thirdly, grit. Determination to keep going when things get a little challenging and a bit tough. And I thought those were three really helpful words for not just the church across the state, but for each local congregation as well, including ours: hope, courage, and grit. Let's have another go here. You might need to do that, Gemma, I think. So Ephesians 2, today and tomorrow. And today is just be a really brief, a bit of an overview, really, a bit of an introduction. And then in a couple of weeks' time, we'll start to look at this passage in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And when we think about who we are and who we're called to be, those last two questions, then let's spend some time looking at the very first Christians. What was their community like? And that's described in these verses. So they were a learning church, they were a caring church, they were a worshipping church, and they were an evangelizing church. And we'll take some time to look at those four things. And then when we get to the last one, an evangelizing church, we'll spend a little bit of time thinking about the message. Because if we tell people, as part of the church, who we are, what's our message that we're giving? And so we'll spend some time thinking a bit about the message that we give. So just to touch on a few things today from Ephesians chapter 2. And I think that's the last slide, isn't it? So we'll keep this one up here. So Ephesians chapter 2, and where Paul describes what life was like for Gentiles before they knew Christ, and what life was like for them after they knew Christ. So he starts talking about things like you were aliens from the nation of Israel, you were strangers, you were had no hope and without God, you were far off, but now by the blood of Christ you have been brought near. And it talks about Christ being our peace, who has broken down the dividing wall between us, as in between Jew and Gentile. So who is the church? Who is the church? And in a lot of ways, that's what Ephesians looks at. And I'd encourage you, later on today to read through chapters 1 and 2 of Ephesians. And as the first part of Ephesians is talking about what Christ has done, and because of that, Christ has established a new humanity, a new humanity that's been created by God through the work of Jesus. And Paul goes on to describe this new humanity. What does it look like? Who is it? And it's different than being in a club. Now, when I finished school, I went to Toowoomba, and I was part of the Institute Cricket Club. Played a season or two there. It's now the University of Southern Queensland. It was so long ago that it was before it was a university. It was the, Darling Downs Institute of Advanced Education back there. But they had a cricket club, Institute Cricket Club, and I was part of this club. And we had some things in common. We loved cricket, we played cricket, and that was about it. Yeah. We were all very different people, and there was some good things about that, and there were some not things. So I remember particularly some games where there was a lot of antagonism and a lot of sledging, and it really wasn't great stuff. Yeah. You know, when you're feeling in gully and you hear some stuff going on, you go, oh, no, that's not what it's about. Yeah. And some of you know that I was from, grew up in the South Burnett, so went to school at Mergan State High. And our arch rivals were Kingaroy State High, 30 minutes away. And yet, one of my crowning glories, one of my moments where I think back is when in the open boys relay, my last year at high school, we nailed those Kingaroy boys. Open boys relay, Mergan State High, it just happened, we nailed it. And we got to the end of that race and we beat the Kingaroy boys. And look, we were slightly happy, that was a good thing. The other thing that we did is that I was part of the volleyball team at Mergan State High. Now, our volleyball team was, I was the tallest and the shortest one probably came to about here on me. And it's a bit like the skyline that you see sometimes in the CBD where our volleyball team was height, like this. Now, when we play Kingaroy State High, their volleyball team was their basketball team in the off-season. Right? So they were all my height and like this, right? But our volleyball team and, and we had someone on our volleyball team, one of my mates, who was not particularly sporty, and we were absolutely flogged. And that didn't go down so great, but as it turns out, that one of the basketballers and volleyballers from Kingaroy, we went to the same college at Toowoomba together, did the same course, ended up there. And we ended up coming to Brisbane and we ended up in a house together. There was myself, there was Rob, Phil and Jim, and we were all Christian people. Actually, Rob, Phil and Jim, my girls used to have a bit of a go at me because all my mates' names were like Bill, Bob and John. And they're going to fair dinkum, Dad. What? So they used to have a go at me at my mates' names, but anyway, I haven't told them much about Rob, Phil and Jim, so I'm not sure how they'll go with that, but anyway. But what's the point of this story? Well, the point of it is that, Rob, who is this basketballer from Kingaroy State High, what united us was Christian faith, that we were part of the church together. And that these three fellows were my brothers. They were my brothers. I saw a book... And some of you would know this book. It was by some Indigenous artists that came together, a book that was Aboriginal art. I'm pretty sure it's around a Christian theme put together in Brisbane here, I think. One of the people involved that was Wesley Conlon. I went to school with Wesley. We were in the same year together. And many will know that there's Mergan and Cherbourg, so we had a lot of Indigenous students as part of the life of the school. And sometimes that went really well, sometimes not so good. But Wesley and I, we didn't hang out a lot, but we kind of knew each other. And this was the first I heard of Wesley for like 35 years when I saw this book and this art book. And it says in there that he's a pastor, that he's a Christian bloke, And I was deeply warmed by this. He's my brother. He's my brother. This is what Ephesians says to us, that the gospel changes everything and it shapes a new humanity. It creates a new humanity where people are our brothers and sisters. We may be very different. It's not like being in a club. It's not like me being in the Institute Cricket Club. We have a new identity. Our identity is formed by what Christ has done for us in his death and his resurrection. And it's this new humanity which shapes us. Which shapes us. We have a new life and a new home. Paul says in these verses, you were once without Christ. You were strangers to each other, you had no hope, but now because of the work of Christ and as the church, You have a new hope, a new life, and indeed, he calls the church a new humanity, such that we are brothers and sisters. So those who proclaim the name of Christ around us are our brothers and sisters. We have brothers up the road here at Chapel Hill Uniting. We have sisters just down the road here at the Anglican Church, Church of Christ. We're all different, but they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a new creation. It's a new humanity. This is who the church is. Now, we also need to be a bit, you know, many of us are realists, okay? And some of them might be saying, well, there are times when I don't really feel this deep sense of unity with some of the Christians that I know. You know, so they do things differently. I don't think I even like them, you know? And if that's the case, then, and we'll look at this a bit more next week, okay? Next week, particularly in the later verses where Paul talks about that the church is founded on the cornerstone of Jesus. Okay? And he also talks about later on in chapter 4 to maintain the unity of the Spirit. He doesn't say create it, he says maintain it because it's already there. And we, part of it is this process of growing into the unity of the church and of recognizing who we are. We are brothers and sisters together. This is who we are. Doesn't mean that we're all the same. Far, far from it. We all have different, we have different expressions of a whole range of things, but this is who the church is. We are brothers. More about that next week, particularly as we look at these verses about Jesus being the corner. So as I said, this morning is kind of an introduction to some things that we'll look at. And I just want to conclude with a couple of thoughts. And when I find that bit in my notes, I'll be able to finish that off really well, I had thought. So we'll look at this, what it means to be the church, and particularly amongst a variety of people. But the essence of today is that this is a new community. And because of what Jesus has done, the gospel changes everything about who we are and how we view people, how we value people, how we understand who we are, and this sense of meaning and belonging. And I suspect a lot of you have experienced this, particularly as you travel, and if you end up going to a church somewhere in a completely different place, there is this sense of having a bond the moment that you see someone who's a Christian person. That's part of what this is about. I want to finish with this thought. This passage in Ephesians draws a sharp contrast between the old life and the new life. And there's times when, as Christian people, we want to say to each other that the past should be forgiven. You know, what you once were, move on from it, put it behind you, let it go. And in a sense, that's fair enough, that we need to let go of lots of stuff that threatened to hold us back. And yet in these verses from Ephesians, and as we look to the future, but as we live in the present, there is an encouragement to not forget what we have left behind, to remember what Christ has brought us from a sense of being without hope, without a community, without a sense of meaning. John Calvin, yay, I've got a sermon with John Calvin in, here we go. John Calvin, as he comments on some of these verses, says this: we never become duly sensible of our obligations to Christ, nor estimate aright his kindness towards us till we have been led to view on the other side the unhappy condition in which we formerly were without Christ. This is not to keep us in our place, nor to keep us chained in some way to the past, but rather as a means of thanksgiving, a means of praise, and of out of that, a means of serving Christ. After all, those who are now members of this new humanity, God's household, must inevitably reflect that status in their actions, in the way that we live, we pray. Lord our God, as we take this next little while looking at who we are, who you've called us to be, help us to be alert to what you are revealing to us. For we know that the gospel changes everything about who we are, what we do, the way that we value people. In and through the name of Christ. Amen.